We're in our series, Imagine a World, and we need Jesus' imagination more than ever. These are very tough days, very trying days, and it looks like they're going to get more trying and more difficult. So we need a word from Jesus. We need a word from Jesus in this moment. We need to see things the way he sees things, and so he asks us to borrow his imagination and trust him. Back in 2000, my mom started to go through problems with her heart. She would pass out and fall down during normal activities, cleaning the house, on a walk. And when they'd go check her out, her heart wouldn't give them any signs. They had no clue. She knew something was going on. She was operating on really low power. Just her heart just wasn't pumping. But we didn't know that at the time. She would tell us that she was sick. In fact, she said she wanted on her tombstone, "I told you I was sick." But as far as all the tests came back, nope, there was no real sign. She got a pacemaker put in, and it helped her, and the medicine started to help strengthen her heart, or at least that was the hope. But by 2009, she went into a checkup and they referred her to Sacred Heart Hospital. And that's in Spokane. And she had this amazing set of doctors that were working with her. Just an amazing group of people. We just fell in love and were so thankful for them. But they said to her, "We're not sure how you walked in here, but you're not leaving. Your heart is in such bad shape." So we moved her. My dad came over and stayed with some friends and then stayed in a trailer. She stayed in the hospital for that whole time. She had a heart pump placed in her to do the work for her. And those were really, really tough days. It wasn't my mom there. She looked completely different. It was really messing with her body. She was having such a hard time. And so the family, you know, when we would gather there, we were in the waiting room. That's an interesting metaphor for today, isn't it? The waiting room. You can't do much. You're just kind of waiting. You go in to visit your mom, and she's just out of it. And it was such a struggle. For a really long time, she was there under this labor of this machine doing the pumping for her, and we hated it. we hated it. I want to talk to you about this waiting room. You probably have been in similar situations. You probably know what the waiting room is like. There were hours there for us where we thought we had lost her. There was a time when they were doing a surgery. I got a call. I wasn't at the hospital. I got a call from my brother that said she's bleeding out right now. If they don't figure this out, she's gone. And I remember my first reaction was, interesting. I said, in my head, I said, "Oh man, I need an iced quad venti, caramel macchiato, and to pray." I remember that moment and it was like, wow, there's my crutch, right? I need something in this waiting room. You maybe need something in your waiting room right now. You may be relying on some things that are not helpful. But we were there and we were waiting and a lot of my family members, my dad, of course, was just attending to her, waiting for some news, And then 11 years ago this week, on April 10th, 2010, at 4:45 a.m., we got a call that somebody in Denver had died and had made the choice to donate organs, and so a heart match came in. And so all the way from Denver, one of these doctors flew out and got the heart, and they took mom in to prep her, and the waiting room, oh my goodness, the waiting room. As we wait for the doctors to do their thing, and that's no small surgery. A heart transplant is a wild thing, and we're there. Some of us not physically there at the time, but we're in that space of the waiting room, just going, okay, what is going on there? What is going on the other side? And there's these two pictures of the waiting room and the operating room. The waiting room where there's nothing you can do. I'm no surgeon. My little brother's actually a surgeon. He would know what's going on in there, but I know the waiting room. Okay, I don't know what's going on in the operating room. And there's that moment for us. And maybe you know that moment of being in the waiting room. Maybe self-isolation and maybe the stay-at-home order and maybe the quarantine and maybe the sickness of the people that you know and love. Maybe that's your waiting room right now. If you've been in a waiting room, you probably slept in the chair. You certainly don't look good. You may not even be trying to look good. You're not supposed to look good. You alternate between anxiety and hopefulness. You hear a door open. Is that going to be the doctor? Is that going to be the surgeon? Are they going to come back and tell me what's going on? You kind of try to distract yourself from what's going on in the operating room. You know that, right? Like, I don't want to know. Or I hope it's going really well. You see the clock on the wall, and is it going backwards? Time just will not go forward. And you're in between these two rooms, the waiting room and the operating room. What's going on in there? Is it going well? And right now, your waiting room might be a concern for your employment. You're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Maybe you're waiting for the government to do something. Maybe you're waiting for a vaccine to be produced. Maybe you're waiting for science to catch up with this pandemic. Maybe you're waiting for the health of those that you love. But you're in that moment. Your hair is messed up. You have these just kind of anxious prayers, and you're in the waiting room. Dear God, what are you doing in the operating room? What is happening? What are you up to? Right now, I'm in the waiting room for two dear friends who have recent diagnosis of COVID-19. I'm in the waiting room right now just texting with my friend Chris and his wife Rebecca. As he's kind of got this impending doom of, I feel kind of okay, but I know I'm descending. And she's got a secondary bacterial infection after the COVID. I'm in the waiting room. But I'm in the waiting room for you too, church. I'm just waiting and asking that God would do a good thing and that he would carry on a work with you. Right now, even while you're at home, while you're watching, and while you're agonizing in prayer over the concerns of the day and the concerns ahead and the fear and the anxiety. I'm in the waiting room for you, praying and asking God to bless you and encourage you. You may be in the waiting room for family members who don't seem to respond to Jesus. If I look at social media, I see just this either political angst or flippancy about the whole issue, just memes about hand washing and then all these concerns over what the government's going to do and which political leader is going to save the day. And the waiting room is a real interesting place right now. Maybe you're in the waiting room for some family members whose lives are doomed to destruction because they're like the fool who built his house on the sand. I get it. I've got people like that in my life that I love. And I'm in the waiting room. God, what are you doing? Father, God, Master, Architect, King of Kings, Holy Surgeon, what is going on in the operating room? How am I supposed to have peace in the waiting room? Church, I want you to know this. This is what I want you to know today. That he is with you in the waiting, even while he's working. I pray his presence among you. I pray that you would be encouraged now in the waiting, even while he is working. When Jesus was on the scene, when he was teaching and loving people and encouraging people, when he was talking about the kingdom of God, he was saying, I want you to imagine a world like this. As he was going through that process, people doubted. People said, I don't see it happening. I don't see all this good stuff happening. If you've come to restore the kingdom to Israel, if you've come to be God as king on earth, if that's what you're doing, I don't see it happening. I just see a bunch of ragtag disciples running around. I don't see this amazing growth. And he said, I want you to wait. I want you to wait and I want you to watch, because I am the Lord of the harvest and I am the one that brings the fruit. And so today, I want you to dig in a little bit to this waiting room and this pain that you experience right now. And I want you to know that God is sitting with you in it. And he wants to walk you through this. And he wants you to have a hope that he is with you in the waiting, even while he's working. So when Jesus was on the scene, it was God, the creator and sustainer of everything, had become king again. That was the announcement. He kept preaching that he's become king again here on earth, the kingdom of God. And because he's now here on the scene, things are different now. Whether you can see it or not, things are different. And you best recognize it early and repent of your strong-headed self-reliance and follow Jesus. You may know that Jesus had his own hype man. His name was John the Baptizer. And John knew who Jesus was because he was a cousin. And he was had been revealed by the Spirit, this is the one, the Lamb of God. And even he had doubts. Well, it's kind of understandable. His waiting room was a prison cell. And the operating room was going to take off his head. Okay, so we're going to give him a bit of a pass here. But he was arrested for offending the king on the scene, King Herod. While he waited, he said to his followers, would you go and speak to Jesus and just find out why things are taking so long? I want you to listen to him here. This is in Luke chapter 7. The disciples of John reported all these things that Jesus was doing, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one that was to come, or are we waiting for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, are you the one, or should we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. So while they were waiting there, he does these things. And then he tells them, go and tell John what you've seen. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So they go back and tell John, who's in jail, who's in prison, waiting for his execution. That's a waiting room that, Lord willing, we're not going to have to be in. But your doubt and your curiosity are understandable, but what we need you to know today is that he's with you in this waiting room. In this pain and in this struggle, he's with you even while he is doing his work. So we come to this parable, the parable of the growing seed. And that's in Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn there. It's a very short and simple message. Jesus says to the crowd that's standing around. Remember, he speaks parables to the crowd. It explains that in Mark chapter 4. But in private, he explains things to his disciples. So he's speaking to the crowd. And he says, the kingdom of God is, it's as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Do you have ears? You should listen. This is what the kingdom of God is like. So it's like a man who scatters seed on the ground. And there have been lots of different ways to interpret this parable. Lots of people have different perspectives. And throughout the church history, it's been interpreted interestingly, differently. You know, it depends if you take the perspective of the man or the seed or the ground or the harvester. But Jesus means for us to take this as a picture, a kind of a working model of what's really going on in the operating room. What's really going on behind the scenes. The earth produces by itself. It's the word, if you just read it straight in Greek, it's automate. It just does it by itself. This is a thing that just is a process that is going and ongoing. And a man scatters seed, and then he sleeps and rises night and day. Sleeps at night, rises at day. The seed sprouts and grows. And he doesn't know how. The earth is doing this on its own. But what's coming later is the growth and then the sickle. He puts in the sickle. He brings the harvest. There's a process that's taking place as the kingdom of God is spreading out that is going to produce a harvest. That harvest is going to be at the end, but it's happening even now. God is at work doing something behind the scenes. Can you believe that in your waiting room right now, that God is at work behind the scenes? There's a long time between the growth and the production and the harvest. And the planting to the harvest is just a really long time, and we don't make that happen. Some of us think that we are in charge of the kingdom, or that we're going to make it happen. I've had to repent of that. I don't bring the kingdom. I know not how it happens. It's not my job to know how all these things take place. My job is to wait patiently, to be faithful in the midst of it, and so is yours. So this message of the parable is really rather simple, isn't it? It answers the question, why is everything the way it is? Why do we not see things moving like we want it to see? Why are we in such a tough time? Why aren't things going the way we want it? And it's okay to ask those questions, but with you in the waiting room is the one who is doing the work. And you can be patiently waiting for him, even while urgently praying. It's okay to watch the clock and wonder, God, what are you doing? Talk with him about it. He wants a relationship with you in this waiting room. And so don't hesitate to reach out, but reach out in faith and in trust that he knows what he's doing, that he's in the operating room making these things happen. So I just want to encourage you with that. The parable is very simple. It reminds us that time is going to pass and God's processes are going to be at work, and in the end there will be a harvest. And I just have to ask you, if you're not a follower of Jesus today, are you ready? Are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you ready to trust him with your heart? Are you ready to tell him, okay, I don't really know what's going on. I'm actually afraid of my own death. I'm afraid of my mortality. I don't know what to do. Can you say that to him? Are you willing to give up your strong-headedness and your self-reliance? Are you ready yet? Well, you've got right now. Would you turn to him and just say, Jesus, I'm done trying to make this all happen myself. I'm done trying to figure out how to provide for my family and maintain my job. Or I'm really tired of trying to be self-reliant in this moment. I feel like things are out of control. Maybe you are that one in the waiting room right now and you're just messed up. Maybe you don't want to admit it, but you're messed up. You have controlled things so well and you've set everything into its own order. You've been in charge of your own kingdom, and now Now you don't have it. Now you're thinking, how am I going to provide for those around me? How am I going to create this? How am I going to lock it down and control this moment? How am I going to make this seed grow? How am I going to force this growth to happen in my life? And just a word, a compassionate, loving word, just stop. Just stop. If you're a follower of Christ, just rest in Him. And you're going to have to learn how to do that, just to ache with the issues going on and just to rest in Him. If you're not a follower of Christ, I beg you, seek Jesus while you can. Seek Him while you can. Say, Jesus, I am done trying to provide my own set of boundaries in my own kingdom. I'm done trying to run my own things. Jesus, You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Master Architect. You are the Holy Surgeon. I'm going to trust You. And you may not know this, but you've got to admit that you've just blown it, that you've rebelled against God, that you've gone away from Him. You haven't lived up to His expectations by any means, but Jesus has. And He is in love with you and wants to draw you into Him. And so that's why we celebrate communion. We talk about the cross, his sacrifice for us on the cross, giving His life for us. And we trust in that operation. We trust it, what happened in that operating room outside Jerusalem on that hill called Golgotha, where He gave His life for your life so that you could turn in your little kingdom and receive His kingdom. That's a word for you right now. Would you just repent and say, Jesus, I give up, I give in, I give You myself. I give up my machinations and my thoughts of how I'm going to make all this happen. I give in. I just say, Jesus, I want You to run things. And I give You my life. All of it. Take it all right now. I want You, Jesus. That's your prayer. Just receive that prayer. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus right now and you just thought things would be different. You just thought maybe your life would look a little bit different than this. Be sure of this, Christian. Be sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. His work in your life will not stop. He's with you in the waiting room. Yeah, He is. He's with you in that waiting room, even while He's working, and He's doing that work in you. And if you're not a follower of Christ and you choose to follow Him today, know that He will continue that work. He will pour out His love into you and through you. In fact, it's not even your work that matters. It's His work. Look at this next passage here. It says to the Philippians, he says, it is God who works in you. It's even Him who works in you to will and to act. So in this waiting room, we've got a gracious God. We've got a holy surgeon who's there to comfort and guide and love us and care for us. James was a brother of Jesus. And he was... I don't know, he was one of the ones that really didn't know Jesus. He grew up with Him as a half brother, but he didn't even love Him. He didn't know Him until after the resurrection, he realized, oh, Jesus is who He says He is. And I can trust Him. I can trust that work. He says this in later writing to his churches that he's been encouraging. He says this, and I'll read all the verses for you. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. We were just studying this in our Zoom Bible study last Thursday night. Consider it pure joy. That seems ridiculous. Seems ridiculous. Well, he says here, why would we consider it joy? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. That seed that's planted and that's in the ground, it has a chance to grow as your endurance builds your patient endurance will build and grow along with this as you allow your faith to be tested. So then it says, so let it grow. Just let it continue to grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. This is God's heart for you. His heart is to help you in this waiting room to grow and grow and grow. He cares for you. And despite appearances, he's at work. Maybe you need to go back and listen to the series we did on the good and beautiful God to begin to trust his character. Those are available here on YouTube. Just to remember he is good, he is loving, he is generous, he is kind. Now, we don't know what he's doing in the operating room. We don't even know why he's doing it. We don't have the cause of the virus from some mystical standpoint. We don't know why it's allowed to happen, but we know what's happening. So one thing we can know for sure, church, is that God is testing our faith. Church, he's testing to see the purity of our faith, to see this endurance grow, for us to be a stronger church, for the harvest to come in. We know that he's doing that. We know he's not tempting us to sin and doubt. He's testing our faith to prove that it's genuine. Okay? To prove that what we have is actually the real deal. You're going to have, you probably already have had, and you will have many more opportunities to trust, to prove your trust in him. And I would encourage you to continue. Despite the appearances to the contrary, the kingdom is growing. The harvest will come. But it'll come in God's time and in God's way. Doesn't that remind you of the Lord's Prayer? Let me have a small friend of mine share that with you here. Thank you, Ronan. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your name be honored, your kingdom come, your will be done, for it's all about you anyway. And that's just the way we want it, to be all about him, the master surgeon, the master architect. It's his work, and we can rest in his work. Just one last thing. Our family's been doing some landscaping in preparation for some vegetable gardens, prudent preparation for times like this. And we're planting a garden, and we're hoping it'll grow. We're not master gardeners. We've failed our vegetable gardens in the past. We're not going to be quite sure that it's growing until it starts coming up out of the ground. And even then, it's a bit of a mystery if we're going to receive the fruit that we want. But can I please assure you that the harvest is coming, that Jesus will have his day, that every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And maybe that's you right now. Bow the knee, confess, Jesus, you are Lord. Your life and death and resurrection covers for my sin and invites me into the Father's heart. Take that opportunity right now. This is Palm Sunday. This is Resurrection Week. This is the time where we think through the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And Sunday is coming. Resurrection Sunday is coming. And one thing is for sure, Jesus' resurrection was the beginning of a great harvest. So in your waiting room, take a few minutes just to be praying, even right now, for those that are lost, those that are hurting, to come to Jesus. This Easter, may there be a huge harvest. May God have his way. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are good and you're gracious and you should know what you're doing. God, we hate being in the waiting room. We are so accustomed to being in the operating room of our own lives, but we have to sit still and remind ourselves today that you alone are God, that you alone have the answers. And so we just ask that you would do your work, that you would be with us in the waiting, even while you're working, and that you would care for us in new ways. God, remind us of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So, church, may God be with you until we meet again. God bless you.